The prophet Isaiah speaks about the body of Christ, the church, as the mountain of the Lord's house that shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. As Christ established the church by his death on Calvary and gave birth to the church by the water and blood that flowed from his side, so the cross of Christ remains as the beacon of light, the beacon of hope, the direction that points the way to eternal salvation. It is by the death and resurrection of Christ that we have eternal life. And so we celebrate it every Mass. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In seminary, somebody had on his door a saying very similar to that. It said, to live each day as though Christ had died yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is coming back tomorrow. It's a good way to think about things. After all, we are people who sacrifice our own lives. As St. Paul says, we have died with Christ in baptism. We've been raised to a new way of life with Christ. Why? To live our lives in expectation of his coming. And so as we come to Mass, we come to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. And at the same time, we fulfill what Isaiah said. We climb the Lord's mountain here to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. So we come to hear the word of God. We receive the word made flesh in the Eucharist. Why? So that Christ may show us how to walk in his paths. We live his way. We follow his way. We believe his truth, that we can live his life here and live his life hereafter. That's really the point of human existence, isn't it? Our whole existence is nothing else but a constant preparation to see God. A constant preparation to see God, to meet him face to face, but also to see him daily in all that we do, in every person that we experience, everything that we encounter, or everything we experience, every person we encounter. One of two things is going to happen. This is a guarantee. Either we're going to die first and go to meet Christ face to face for judgment, or he's going to come to earth, as he promised on the last day, to judge the living and the dead. Either way, we see him face to face, and we're going to see him for judgment, based on how we have loved him and how our love for him has overflowed into our love for one another, as he has taught us. Now, I know that we all do this. We all talk about how if a particular situation would arise, or if a particular person had to be encountered, we would do a certain thing, or we would say a certain thing. Oh yeah, if I had to meet up with so-and-so, I'd give him a piece of my mind, and I would say this, that, or the other. Or if this were to happen, this is exactly how I would react. We all say that, so we all have this kind of a plan. But then when that situation does arise, or we do have the encounter with that person, what happens? It's completely different. We don't say what we said we were going to say. We don't do what we said we were going to do. We kind of lose our nerve sometimes. Now, if we do that with human beings, are we going to do the same thing with Christ? Sometimes we sin, and we know that we're wrong, but we'd like to justify ourselves. Well, I've got a reason for why I do what I do. Well, I know that God is going to forgive me. Well, you know, it's different for me. And we go on and on and on using 1,000 different excuses, but the reality is, what's going to happen when we see Christ face to face and there is no more time for a lie, when there is no more time for a cover-up? There's no more excuses. All Jesus asks is, do you love me? Honestly, sincerely, and how have you shown that? You've heard me say before about this. People ask, Father, are you afraid to die? My response is, well, no. And if I were afraid to die, and I certainly have the wrong kind of a job then in preparing people for eternal life. There's something optimistic that lies beyond this. Am I concerned about how it's going to happen and when? Well, yeah, like anybody else, that is a concern. But should it be? No. It should never be. The focus should be on the life that we live. How am I living my life here and now? Because that's what leads me to eternity. Am I living my life with the Lord Jesus here and now, that it can be said that I'm with him forever by beginning that life with him here on earth? We don't know what it's going to be like when we see Christ face to face. But we do know that it's going to happen. And we should never fool ourselves with overconfidence. We must be humble, yes, understanding our own lack of virtue and grace, etc., but always remaining totally dependent on God's mercy. After all, as Isaiah says, we want to be at peace. We want to be at peace with God. We want to be at peace within ourselves. We want to be at peace with one another. And sin doesn't do that. Sin furthers the desire. Sin agitates. Sin takes away life. It kills. And we want to see the Lord's love, be granted his salvation, and live in the fullness of life. Jesus tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be the coming of the Son of Man. People are just simply living life as usual and enjoying all the things that life has to offer, which is not a bad thing. But we have to recall that our life is going to be led to something else. When the Lord Jesus comes, he will take those with him who have been faithful, and those who are not will be separated from him. As he says, at an hour that you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Now, I've heard of Advent being called in French, la petite carême, which means the little Lent. The little Lent. Now, just as we prepare for Easter and the celebration of Christ's resurrection with our prayers and our sacrifices and our acts of charity during Lent, we should be doing the same thing in Advent, preparing ourselves to meet Christ face to face. Now, the gospel passage that we just heard this morning comes from the 24th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel. And in Matthew 25, he tells us exactly how that's going to happen, how we're going to be judged when he comes. Christ tells us that he will at that time gather all the nations together, and he will separate us as a shepherd will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep on his right, the goats on his left. The master will then say to those on both his right and his left, either come, you are blessed by my Father, or depart from me, you are cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What's the criteria? As Jesus said, either you did or did not feed me when I was hungry, either you did or did not give me drink when I was thirsty, you did or did not welcome me as a stranger, take care of me when I was sick or a prisoner, you didn't come at the time that I needed you to be there, in word, you did not show self-sacrifice and charity, all done as an act of faith. For as often as you did any of these things to the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done this for me. Thus, St. John of the Cross tells us that in the end, we'll be judged by love, our love for God, and how that overflows into our love of neighbor. Being faithful to God, being charitable toward one another. That's living honestly, seeking God face to face, that we can be prepared to meet him face to face. Are you the same person in public as you are in private? Some people have been called an angel on the streets, but a devil at home. We can't have that kind of a split personality. We must be honest before God and be honest before one another. Yes, we have our deficiencies and our weaknesses, but as Christ tells us, we can conquer all these things in him. We can be victorious in Christ, who has offered himself for us, that we can become like him. And so St. Paul tells us, my brothers and sisters, you know the time, the hour is here. Awake from your sleep. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is well advanced and the day is at hand. Let us then throw off those works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves as Christians, properly, as in the day, being faithful to God in church and at home, being the same person striving for holiness behind the closed doors of our houses or the openness of the street, whether we find ourselves in private or in public, to be the same person seeking God and living a godly life. Not in orgies or drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but in everything, all things, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision whatsoever for the wayward desires of the flesh that separate us from the love of God. As Isaiah says, house of Jacob, come. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, so that we may go rejoicing into the house of the Lord.